This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بعد. My dear respective brothers and sisters, first and foremost, I would just like to thank the organizers for inviting me over to give this lecture. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us in a hadith that was narrated by Imam Abu Dawud rahimahullah ta'ala on the authority of Abu Huraira, where the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, لا يشكر الله من لا يشكر الناس. The one who doesn't thank the people, he won't be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to aid and assist those who organized it and make it a means where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts good deeds on the scale of good deeds, inshaAllah ta'ala, on Yawm al-Qiyamah. Today, my brothers and my sisters, as you guys are aware, we want to speak about 7 ways of how to attain the khushu' in the salah. Some of us may be sick and tired of walking into the salah as if it is a routine. We go in and out and we haven't felt that connection between ourselves and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, my brothers and my sisters, something that the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us with regards to the ibadat. And it may be that two individuals, they perform the exact same ibadah, but they end up coming out with different rewards. And this is something that Messenger told us about different ibadat. With regards to the month of Ramadan, the fasting that we do, the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us, رُبَّ صَائِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ صِيَامِ إِلَى الْجُعْ وَالْعَطَشِ. Perhaps an individual, he fasts and he gets nothing out of the fasting except what? الجوع والعطش, thirst and hunger. وَرُبَّ قَائِمْ لَيْسَ لَهُ مِنْ قِيَامِ إِلَّا التَّعَبْ وَالسَّهَرْ. Perhaps a person, he might be spending the nights in the month of Ramadan praying, and he gets nothing except what? Tiredness, and also just spending the night without achieving anything. Also the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he told us with regards to the Hajj, مَنْ حَجَّ وَلَمْ يَرْفُثْ وَلَمْ يَفْسُخْ رَجْعَ كَيَوْمِ وَلَدَتْهُ أُمُّهُ. Whoever performs Hajj and he doesn't fall into obscenity and also transgression, then this individual is the one who's going to come back like a newly born baby. Those who have gone out on Hajj, and I'll tell you this as a Hajj operator, sometimes being with the Hujjaj, you can witness it with your own eyes that this guy may have destroyed many aspects of his Hajj, with the way he deals with others, the way he's maybe hurting people, the way he, you know, is just being argumentative from the moment he touches down in the Ard al-Haramain, in Mecca or Medina, all the way till the time we come back. Can that person be the same as the one who was patient and endured the difficulty, the heat, and the troubles that one has to go through when going out on Hajj? And the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brothers and my sisters, he also told us about the salah. إِنَّ الرَّجُلَ لَيَنْصَرِفُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ فَمَا كُتِبَ لَهُ مِنْ صَلَاتِهِ إِلَّا عُشْرُهَا أَوْ تُسْعُهَا أَوْ ثُمُنُهَا أَوْ سُبُعُهَا أَوْ سُدُسُهَا إِلَىٰ آخِرِهِ. Perhaps an individual, when he comes out of the salah, he only ended up getting what? 10%, 20%, 30%, and so on and so forth. إلى آخر الحديث. This salah that we just prayed, my brothers and my sisters, Salatul Asr, it could be that when Muhammad prayed, the reward that he got was completely different from when Ali prayed. And that is a qa'idah the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. So isn't it sad, my brothers and my sisters, that the only interaction we have with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because the Messenger told us, right? إِذَا قَامَ أَحَدُكُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِ فَإِنَّهُ يُنَاجِي رَبَّهُ When one, he stands up for the salah, he's interacting with his Lord. He doesn't feel anything in his heart. It is as if it is just a random routine. Like the different other aspects that he does on his day-to-day life. Imagine, my brothers and my sisters, we had a getaway. Have you guys heard of a getaway vacation? Huh? The kuffar, they have something called a getaway vacation, where he even wants to get away from his wife and his kids. It's called a men's vacation, where they go out and they go crazy and so on and so forth. Because he's been so stressed out throughout the year, he just wants to get away from everything, guys. The people of the past, min as-salihin, those who are righteous, they also had, my brothers and my sisters, a getaway. You know what this getaway was? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, إِنَّ فِي الدُّنْيَا جَنَّةِ مَنْ لَمْ يَدْخُلْهَا لَمْ يَدْخُلْ جَنَّةِ الْآخِرَةِ. In this dunya there is a jannah, there is a paradise. Whoever doesn't enter into this paradise, he won't enter into the paradise of the akhirah. Scholars, they differed. What was he speaking about? Some scholars, they mentioned al-rida, being satisfied and content when you go through the different ibtila'at, different troubles and difficulties. Sabr is one thing, patience is one thing. There is a level above that, which is al-rida, to actually be pleased, to be happy, satisfied with the difficulties and the trials that you're going through. And some of them, my brothers and my sisters, they said, it is what? It is the salah. When they entered into the salah, they forgot all the humum and the ghumum. All the distresses, the difficulties, the problems, the troubles that he's going through in this dunya. It was an opportunity for him to just get away from everything, because we're in what? We're in Darul Ibtila. Especially living in this society today that has been so sexualized. You go outside, you look to your left, you look to your right, you look in front of you, look behind you. There's just fawahish everywhere. You walk into your home, sometimes it's like a war zone. Go to the wife, there might be troubles. Your children, again, it's just driving you crazy. You know the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my brothers and my sisters, whenever he went through troubles, كان يفزعوا إلى الصلاة. He would rush to the salah. And he went through trials and difficulties and problems and distresses, he would go through and run to the salah. Leish. Because that is where he found his what? Contentment. Today, my brothers and my sisters, when we go through difficulties, do we not go and sit in front of the creation? And we complain and complain and complain, and we show our sadness, grief and sorrow. صح ولا لا? And a lot of the time, they can't do anything for us. They can't do anything for us, majority of the time. And he's probably sitting there, the person that you're complaining to is thinking, when is this guy going to go? Sah. Everybody's busy, right? Got things to do. And be sitting around hearing a guy complaining and complaining. But you have, my brothers, Al-Malik al-Dayyan, who is calling you to answer this call, this interaction. And he is ready to remove all the problems that you have. Just now when I went to one of the masajid, I was giving them the importance of a dua in the salat itself. In that salat, my brothers and my sisters, there is a position which the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, فَاجْتَهِدُوا فِي الدُّعَاءِ فِي السُّجُودِ فَقَمِنُونَ أَن يُسْتَجَابَ لَكُمْ. Be somebody who strives in making that dua in the sujood, for indeed it will be responded back to you. Be responded back to you. This salah, my brothers and my sisters, it is not like the different other ibadah that we do. It is looked at completely differently. So my brothers and my sisters, like I said, imagine we had this getaway, this salah, which allows us now to, you know, get away from everything. Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to Bilal, قُمْ يَا بِلَالُ فَأَرِحْنَا بِالصَّلَاةِ. Stand up, O Bilal. Cause us to go through the pleasure, the contentment of the salah. And my brothers and my sisters, once you taste the sweetness of ibadah, That time of, you know, making Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala second to everything else will come to an end. You might even reach a point where you're waiting for that opportunity from Allah Azza wa Jal. Can't wait till the next salah. Instead of looking at it as if it is a burden coming my way. Ala kulli hal, my brothers and my sisters, before I mention the 7 points, I want to stand over the statement of Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, where he said, لِلْعَبْدِ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ مَوْقِفَانِ. The abd, the servant, he stands in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in two cases. مَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلْ يَوْمَ لِقَائِهِ. Going to be standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the day when you meet Him. أَلَيْسَ كَذَلِكَ؟ يَوْمَ يَقُومُ النَّاسُ لِرَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ. Allah mentions, the day when the people are going to be standing in front of their Lord, the Lord of all worlds. وَمَوْقِفٌ بَيْنَ يَدَيْهِ فِي صَلَاتِهِ. And also standing in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the salah. Then Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he goes on to say, فَمَنِ اسْتَهَانَ بِالْمَوْقِفِ الثَّانِي شَدَّدَ عَلَيْهِ الْمَوْقِفِ الْأَوَّلِ. Whoever takes the issue of the salah very lightly and he doesn't fulfill it, how he should be, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to what? Make the mawqif, the time when he is going to be standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal, really difficult for him. وَمَنْ لَمْ يُوَفِّي حَقَّ الْمَوْقِفَ الثَّانِي أو وَمَنْ قَامَ بِحَقٍ فِي الْمَوْقِفَ الثَّانِي هَوَّنَ عَلَيْهَ الْمَوْقِفَ الْأَوَّلِ. And whoever, my brothers and my sisters, gives his concern, importance, trying his utmost best in perfecting that standing which he stands in front of Allah Azza wa Jal on a day-to-day basis, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it easy for him then. Can you see the direct link, my brothers and my sisters? Two times you're standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. Perfect your salat. And this is why we are here today. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. The believers are successful. The first characteristic that was mentioned was what? Or the first quality? Those who have khushu' in their salat. So my brothers and my sisters, the first point that I'm going to mention inshaAllah ta'ala is istihdaru nazar Allah ta'ala ilayk. In order to be able to attain that khushu' is that you are somebody who constantly has on the back of his mind that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is watching him. Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, وَإِنَّمَا يُفَارِقُ الْخُشُوعُ الْقَلْبَ إِذَا غَفَلَ عَنِ اطِّلَاعِ اللَّهِ عَلَيْهِ وَنَظْرِهِ إِلَيْهِ. That individual, he will lose this blessing or this quality of having the khushu' in the salat the moment he begins to become unmindful that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is constantly watching him, looking at him. And that is not just, my brothers and my sisters, in the salah. It is also outside of the salah. That time, my brothers and my sisters, when you're under your blanket and the shaitan is whispering in your ears to go and bring out the haram on your phone. You know, the shaitan has worked so hard, my brothers and my sisters, to look at fawahish in such an easy manner. I'm sure we remember the times when we used to have these big Dell computers, sah? The only way to access the internet is through these big computers. They didn't even have laptops then. You guys remember the big Dell with the big back? They used to sit in the living room, And the moment somebody wanted to do haram, he's watching the door. The moment he hears something, everything starts, It was more difficult to be watching haram. But now it is so easy because of these smartphones that we have. الجوالات الذكية, that's what they call it, smartphones. It's actually making the kids bleed, making them thick, sitting in front of it throughout the whole day. And there is articles that have been written on this, how it actually affects the mind and reduces his intelligence and so on and so forth. على كل حال, the one constantly, my brothers and my sisters, has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the back of his mind. And it's times like that, my brothers and my sisters, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala provides for you, right? And this is taqwa in its essence. That you do what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told you to do. As Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentions, people normally translate the issue of taqwa as what? As fear. It's actually more comprehensive than that. وَهُوَ أَن تَجْعَلَ بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَ مَا تَخَافُ وِقَايَةً تَقِيُّ مِنْهِ. Ibn Rajab rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned when speaking about taqwa, is that you place a shield between you and that which you fear. What is it that we fear? The anger of Allah Azza wa Jal, right? And what is this shield? وَفِعْلُ الطَّاعَاتِ وَاجْتِنَابُ الْمَنْهِيَاتِ. To do what Allah Azza told you to do and to stay away from the things that Allah told you to stay away from. It's times like that, my brothers and my sisters, when you're under your blanket and nobody is with you and everything is calling you to do haram, that you تغلب الشيطان, that you overcome, push away the shaitan. That Allah Azza wa Jal now all of a sudden begins to open doors for you. وَمَنْ يَتَّقِ اللَّهَ يَجْعَلْ لَهُ مَخْرَجًا. Whoever comes with taqwa, Allah Azza wa Jal is going to give him a way out. وَيَرْزُقْهُ مِنْ حَيْثُ لَا يَحْتَسِبْ. And will provide for him from where he doesn't expect. Rizq, my brothers and my sisters, isn't just wealth. Also, al-ilm, my brothers, knowledge. The word rizq can be used in that sense as well. And all the other qualities and blessings that we want. Not just that which is materialistic. So here, my brothers and my sisters, he clearly says, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, وَكُلُّ مَا كَانَ أَشَدَّ اسْتِحْضَارًا لَهُ كَانَ أَشَدَّ خُشُوعًا كَانَ أَشَدَّ خُشُوعًا. The more a person, he has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the back of his mind, this person will have more khushu'. He will have that glorification, that reverence in his heart towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Every step that you take, every move that you make, my brothers and my sisters, you're asking yourself, is it really for Allah Azza wa Jal? Am I doing this for Allah Azza wa Jal? When I say something, when I do something with my limbs, is it really for Allah Azza wa Jal? When I'm about to sin now, do I have Allah Azza wa Jal on the back of my mind that He is al-raqib? That He's overwatching every single movement that I do. And then you also have, my brothers and my sisters, to have Allah Azza wa Jal on the back of your mind that He's watching you, standing in front of you when it comes to the salah. فعن عبد الرحمن بن حفص القرشي قال كان علي بن حسين. The grandson of who? Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ali ibn Hussein. Ali ibn Hussein, not Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu, but in fact the son of Hussein. إذا توضى أصفر. Whenever he made wudu, my brothers and my sisters, his face would go yellow. فيقول له أهله, his family would say to him, ما هذا الذي يعتادك? What is it that which keeps happening to you all the time? فيقول, and he would say, تدرون بين يدي من أريد أن أقوم? Do you guys really know who I'm about to stand in front of? I want to ask you guys a question. You know, my brothers and my sisters, when we go for an interview, the amount of preparation that we put into it, alaysa kadhalik? We're thinking about what we're going to say. We make sure we iron our clothes so we're looking slick, suited and booted, sah? We normally have a bath once a day, or maybe once in 2 days. We're going to make sure on that very day, we're having two showers, one the night before, one in the morning as well. So we look great. We're practicing before we are about to enter into interviewer's office. Isn't this also, my brothers and my sisters, more of a reason for us to, you know, prepare ourselves for. Al-Razzaqu, the one who provides for the interviewer and the one who also provides for you. We put so much thought and effort into the khalq, the creation. فَالْخَالِقُ أَوْلَى. The khaliq, the creator himself. It's more of a reason that we behave in such a way. وَكَانَ خَلَفْ ibn Ayyub, Imam Ahmad rahimahullah ta'ala, he took knowledge from Khalif ibn Ayyub. لَا يَطْرُدُ الذُّبَابَ عَنْ وَجِهِ فِي الصَّلَاةِ. If a fly came onto his face, my brothers and sisters, he wouldn't try to expel it from it. فَيَقُولُ لَهُ كَيْفَ تَصِيرُ أَوْ كَيْفَ تَصْبِرُ عَلَى ذَلِكَ. How is it that you are patient upon that? A fly is coming onto your face. It can be really, really agitating, right? قَالَ بَلَغَنِي أَنَّ الْفُسَّاقَ يَصْبِرُونَ تَحْتَ أَسْوَاطِ السُّلْطَانِ. Said, it has reached me that the fussaq, those who transgress, they are patient upon when they are being whipped by the rulers. ليقال, just so the people can say, فلان صبور, so and so is patient. ويفتخرون بذلك, and they boast about it. I was able to endure the whipping of the ruler. Would boast about it. فأنا قائم بين يدي ربي أفأتحرك لذبابة. And I stand in front of my Lord, and you want me to start fidgeting and moving in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala over a little fly as such. The next point that I want to mention, my brothers and my sisters, is point number two. ترقب آفات النفس والعمل بالنقد ورؤية فضل كل ذي فضل. Constantly, my brothers and my sisters, seeing your shortcomings and seeing your deficiencies. And this is the way of the awliya, my brothers and my sisters. They don't become deluded or complacent with the good deeds that they have come with. They always see themselves that they can do better. This is why Imam al-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, in his lines of poetry, when he was talking about the characteristics of the awliya, سير إلى الله والدار الآخرة. He says, فعل الفرائض والنوافل دأبهم مع رؤية التخسير والنقصان. Doing the good deeds that are obligatory, and also the voluntary acts is their way. While at the same time, رؤية التخسير والنقصان. They always see themselves that they can what? Do better. And that they are falling short. I'm going to ask you guys a question. What is the very well-known dua that one reads on the last 10 nights of Ramadan? Jameel, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni, right? Tayyib. Does anybody know how this dua came about? Jameel, fatah Allahu alayk. Aisha radiyallahu ta'ala anha was from the greatest of those, from the companions, and I say the companions because she was even better than many of the male companions. And that just shows you, just because you're a woman, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're limited when it comes to seeking knowledge and also hitting new heights. Aisha radiyallahu, she said, Ya Rasulullah, أَرَأَيْتَ إِنْ عَلِمْتُ أَيَّ لَيْلَةٍ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ. If you, Ya Rasulullah, if I come to know when Laylatul Qadr is, would you advise me to say, would you advise me to supplicate with? And he taught the dua, Allahumma innaka afuun tuhibbul afwa fa'fu anni. Ibn Rajab, my brothers and my sisters, he teaches us something. A very nice, beautiful benefit with regards to this dua. It says, وَإِنَّمَا أَمَرَ بِسُؤَالِ الْعَفْوِ بَعْدَ الْإِجْتِهَادِ فِي الْأَعْمَالِ فِيهَا وَفِي لَيَالِ الْعَشَرِ. He only asked her to seek forgiveness. And this is when, after working so hard in the first 20 days of the month of Ramadan. And also she came into the last 10 days, she's even working more hard. لأن العارفين يجتهدون في الأعمال. ثم لا يرون لأنفسهم عملا صالحا ولا حالا ولا مقالا. Because the smart and intelligent individual, what he does is he strives when it comes to doing good deeds, and then he sees himself falling short, not having accomplished anything. He doesn't get too complacent. فَيَرْجِعُونَ إِلَى سُؤَالِ الْعَفْوِ كَحَالِ الْمُذْنِبِ الْمُقَصِّرِ. He mentions it, لطائف المعارف. What do they do then? If he's smart, the one who just came out of the month of Ramadan, after he'd done so many great deeds, he rushes back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to ask for forgiveness. You know like who? Like the sinner. The zani, my brothers and my sisters, the one who just committed zina, if he's a smart, intelligent individual, what is he going to do? The guy who fell into zina, he committed a sin. If he's smart and intelligent, what's he going to do? He's going to repent to Allah Azza wa Jal, right? He's going to seek forgiveness. He's saying to you, if you want to be from the best of the people and be like an individual, my brothers and my sisters, who begs Allah for forgiveness after he's done the good deed, the same way the sinner does. Same way the sinner does. And because, my brothers and my sisters, هذا يورث شيئا من الانكسار. When a person constantly sees himself falling short, it causes him now, my brothers and my sisters, to break down in front of Allah as well, constantly. My brothers and my sisters, a whole day goes past. How many of us, before we go to sleep, we actually think of all the different interactions that we had? Maybe I said this, maybe I done this, that should have made me right. I could have maybe dealt with in a better issue. That statement that I mentioned. Because we're all going to make mistakes. Sometimes we become unmindful and we're just human beings. But we actually, my brothers and my sisters, we seek, you know, forgiveness and just contemplate on it. So he says, فَرْجِعْ إِلَى نَفْسِكَ وَانْظُرْ إِلَى عَيُوبِهَا. Go back to your nafs and look at its shortcomings. فَإِنَّ ذَلِكَ يُورِثُكَ إِنْكِسَارًا. Because this is now going to cause you what? To feel really small and break down in front of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَأَمَّا الْخَلْقِ فَلَا تَنْظُرْ إِلَى عَيُوبِهِمْ. As for the creation, then don't look at their shortcomings. And what we're speaking about here is the shortcomings that people have in their private lives, in their own actions. See, as opposed to when an individual now he stands on the minbar and he's propagating bid'ah. The sharia has another way of dealing with that. But looking at the people's shortcomings, when you yourself have so many shortcomings of your own, you know, my brothers and my sisters, and I've seen this time and time again, and I believe in something, my brothers and my sisters, called مَنْ عَيَّرَ أَخَاهُ بِذَنْبٍ لَمْ يَمُتْ حَتَّى يَعْمَلُهُ. Even though the hadith is fabricated, but the ma'na is sahih, the meaning is true. And Ibn al-Qayyim and many other scholars, they talk about this. Never comes a time where you degrade or humiliate somebody because of a sin that he's committing, except that there will come a time when you will be doing the exact same thing. Instead of you now, my brothers and my sisters, asking Allah Azza wa Jalla to guide him, oh Allah, forgive him, oh Allah, make him a better person, أَنْتَ أَلَا نَيَجْتُ حَقِيرُهُ. You belittle him. I believe in this. I really, really do. There was a lady that I knew. She had a daughter as well. A daughter, mashallah, you know, it was great. There would be other girls who would be doing fawahish, going outside, you know, taking off the hijab. One time, the other girl from across the street, she got pregnant. This lady started spreading, huh? Look at her, she got pregnant outside of marriage, and so on and so forth. Because that is really huge in many communities. And before you knew it, my brothers and my sisters, her own daughter, huh? Instead of her making dua, asking Allah to protect her daughter, she was what? She was degrading, right? And belittling. It became, Allah Azza wa Jal decreed that her daughter becomes the worst of the girls in the area. Sleeping around, committing fawahij, and so on and so forth. مَنْ عَيَّرَ أَخَاهُ بِذَنْبٍ لَمْ يَمُتْ حَتَّى يَعْمَلَهُ. What makes you think that it can't happen to your daughter? Instead of rushing back to Allah, oh Allah, protect my kids from what happened and guide them. فأنت لا نيش تحقر. There was a brother in Damaj in Yemen where I was studying who used to throw around fatawa from Yemen to some of the brothers in London. Tell them that wearing trousers is haram. And if you work at a particular workplace, you can't wear your trousers. It's haram. Tamam? And if they did end up working, wearing trousers, he would tell the brothers in the masjid to be really rough and tough with them. So they come back and to boycott them as well. You know, my brothers and sisters, what happened to this brother? Because obviously when you're abroad, sometimes, you know, you're kind of disconnected from the reality of the world. You don't know what's going on. So this brother came back and he realized how tough it is, to find a job where you can wear your thobe. You can do whatever you want. تعرف إيش ابتلاه الله عز وجل به؟ Do you know what Allah عز وجل tried him with? Forget about wearing trousers. His brother was wearing purple ones. He was working in the Heathrow airport. They made him wear purple trousers. Wallahi, before he used to say, I prefer that Allah that my knee gets chopped off. Wallahi, this very words that I heard my own ears. I prefer for my knees to be chopped off than for me to wear trousers. And now, not only is he wearing it, but he's wearing purple ones. But then if you guys walk around with purple trousers. Of course now, I was doing it, right? A lot of rainbows. على كل حال, point of the matter is, my brothers and my sisters, look at yourself. Really look at your own deficiencies. Look at your own deficiencies, and that will cause you to have a constant relationship with Allah Azza wa Jal. And you'll have a constant habit of what? Breaking down. No matter what level you reach in knowledge, in righteousness, and so on and so forth. Because there is always what? Room for improvement. And the moment you begin to think, I've made it, that's a problem. Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu. He was with Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman. Who was Hudhayfa ibn al-Yaman? Sahibu sirri Rasulillah. He was from those who knew the secrets of the Messenger. One time somebody died, he said to him, Fashhad. Give your witness. Give your testimony with regards to this individual. And he told him. And then Umar ibn al-Khattab, as he was about to leave them, as he grabbed him. And he said to him, Was I from those who the Messenger mentioned from amongst the munafiqeen? Hada Umar ibn al-Khattab. The one who was walking on the face of this earth, he knew he was going to Al-Jannah. He told him, you're not. And he goes, I'm not going to tell anyone after you. Ibn Umar radiallahu used to go to Safa. You guys know what Safa and Marwa is, right? We all know so. Inna Safa wal Marwa min sha'airillah. Right next to the Kaaba. He would say, Ya Allah, Allahumma inni as'aluk, kama hadaytini ila al-Islam an la tanzi'u minni. Oh Allah, ask you, just like you guided me to Al-Islam, do not strip away Al-Islam from myself. And Ibn Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu, likewise Abdullah ibn Amr and many of the companions, they always looked for avenues of how they can become better individuals. We know the famous story of Abdullah ibn Amr ibn As, right? And one time they were sitting with the Messenger of Allah, يَطْلُ عَلَيْكُمْ الْآنَ رَجُّ مِنْ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ. There will now come upon you an individual who is from the people of Al-Jannah. So Abdullah ibn Umar. The light bulb in his head went on. And the Messenger said this three times. When that individual walked in the third time, he goes, I want to spend three nights with you. Just so he can find out, what is it that caused him to be from the people of Jannah? Even though Abdullah ibn Amr ibn Asi was somebody who was a sawwam and qawwam. He used to pray in the night and he used to what? Always fast. The Messenger sallallahu alayhi had to actually tell him, yeah, calm down. فإنك إذا فعلت ذلك هجمت عينك ونفهت نفسك فقم ونم وصل وصم وأفطر. I tell him, sleep, pray, fast, don't fast, be balanced, take it easy. He's always finding ways how I can improve and become a better person. The third point, my brothers and my sisters, that was mentioned is معرفة الرب معرفة صحيحة تورث التعظيم. To learn about Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm going to ask you guys a question. The moment you find out about a random musalli, somebody who just randomly plays in the masjid, not plays, prays, huh? That he is somebody who gives a lot of charity, he's a very righteous individual, does that not increase love in our hearts for that person? But before that, we just saw him as an average Joe, sah? Just comes, prays, and he goes. But we begin to find stuff about him, and then he puts something in our heart, sah wa la? Have we met individuals like that? It's a question, guys. Huh? Tayyib. Also, the sister that you have a marriage sit down with, before that, you had a what? Particular image about her. But then you found out she prays at night. Allah. May Allah make all your wives like that. Ameen. And your future ones. And if you have one, may Allah make her like that. If you want another one, make her as well. Jameel. I should have took the mic off, huh? Oh, sad. Ala kulli hal. The moment you begin to find out good stuff about her that she prays, it increases, you know, your urge of wanting to take her. Sah? And you find something else out. And something else. You're finding more information about her, more qualities. It will increase your love. Sure, we all agree to that. Sahwala, and the sisters likewise, when they hear about that person, have to be fair and equal. Naam. And likewise, my brothers and my sisters, I'm not trying to compare a lady to Allah Azza wa Jal. Huh? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when you come to realize, my brothers and my sisters, that He is the mudabbir of all affairs. Isn't there times, my brothers and my sisters, where we feel like we are going through an ibtila? Something that we really, really love is taken away from us. And you think that the whole world is coming down upon you. And then maybe 1 year later you say to myself, Subhanallah, if that was still in my life, I wouldn't be able to do X, Y, and Z. We realize the hikmah, the wisdom of Allah, fima ba'd, later on. And that just causes what? To feel so good about Allah Azza wa Jal. When you come to realize, my brothers and my sisters, and Allah subhanahu wa razzaq, huh? That He is the provider of all things. And He constantly provides for you. Will this individual actually go out and start doing benefit fraud or cheating the government or eating haram and so on and so forth? He is the alternator, the provider of all things, the one who controls the abd in every way possible. And through that, my brothers and my sisters, learning His names and attributes, learning about the aqidah that one must learn about in order to, you know, improve his chances of entering into al-Jannah, this just increases your what? Your glorification of Allah Azza wa Jal. The way you see Allah Azza wa Jal. As for you not knowing about Allah Azza wa Jal, how are you going to have Him on the back of your mind? But if you really, really love something, it's going to be what? Huh? Constantly in the back of your mind. We all know the story of Romeo and Juliet, sah? And in Arabic, they have something called Majnoon Layla. One who was Majnoon about Layla. Constantly on his mind. Hakada. You learn about the names and attributes of Allah Azza wa Jal, that is now going to what? Increase your love about Allah Azza wa Jal, and is constantly going to be on your mind. And this will cause that glorification to be in your heart towards Allah Azza wa Jal. Point number 4. أن يصلي صلاة رجل يظن أنه لن يعود إليها أبدا. This is one of my favorite ones, my brothers and my sisters. That he prays a prayer as if he is not going to have another opportunity to pray another one. The farewell prayer. You know about the farewell prayer? It's not a sixth salat. There was a video that went round, huh? Where I was discussing this very point, when the Grenfell Tower, you know, the catastrophe that took place, and we was in the month of Ramadan, and I was given this reminder that the Messenger of Allah alayhi wa sallam told us about the Salah. Even though between the prayers that we pray, huh, it's only a couple of hours.
So if that's with regards to the salawat, then it's min babi awla. It is foremost that we treat this Ramadan as if it is the last Ramadan. So a lot of people are commenting, is this a sixth salah? Is this another salah that we don't know about? A farewell prayer, my brothers and my sisters, is that you pray every single salah as if it is going to be your last salah. It is not a sixth prayer. My brothers and my sisters, the guy on death row, when they give him a couple of moments, you know, to go and do whatever he wants, if it's a Muslim and he decides to go and pray to Allah Azza wa Jal, is that prayer going to be the same prayer as he was praying throughout his life? His mind is going to be more at it, right? He's going to treat it differently because he knows he's about to leave this world. And that would be the case if we knew when we are dying, sah? Somebody is now diagnosed with cancer. A kid, from the apparent, it looks like what? It's a very, very bad thing, sah? But one thing is going to do, and perhaps this is a blessing in disguise. He's going to be on his toes. Because he's been diagnosed with cancer, the doctors have said to him he's going to pass away soon. He's going to prepare a preparation like no other. This is why the Messenger of Allah ﷺ, he told us, أكثر من ذكر هادم اللذات, be somebody who excessively thinks and ponders upon that which is going to destroy all his pleasures, and that is al-maut. Told us, نهيتكم عن زيارة القبور فزوروها. I initially prohibited you from visiting the graves, صح? And now I say to you, go and visit it. Why? What is the reason behind it? فإنها تذكركم بالآخرة. It reminds you of the akhirah. In another narration, وَتُزَهِّدُ فِي الدُّنْيَا. It makes you overlook the pleasures of the dunya. So if one has death on the back of his mind, wallahi, that prayer is not going to be the same. And this is exactly what the Messenger ﷺ said. أُذْكُرِ الْمَوْتَ فِي صَلَاتِكَ. Remember death in your salah. فَإِنَّ الرَّجُلَ إِذَا ذَكَرَ الْمَوْتَ فِي صَلَاتِهِ لَحَرِيٌّ أَنْ يُحْسِنَ صَلَاتَهِ. Because if one remembers death in his salat, it is most likely that he's going to what? Perfect his salat. وَصَلِّ صَلَاتَ رَجُلٍ لَا يَظُنُّ أَنَّهُ يُصَلِّي صَلَاةً غَيْرَهَا. And pray the prayer of a man who thinks that he's not going to be able to pray another prayer. Point number five, my brothers and my sisters, again, this is a very, very powerful point. He says, أَنْ تَسْتَشْعِرَ وَتَسْتَحْضِرَ أَنَّكَ عَلَى الصِّرَاطِ فَوْقَ جَهَنَّمْ. You have on the back of your mind, my brothers and my sisters, that you are on the bridge that has been placed above the Jahannam. We've all heard about that sirat, right? وَإِن مِّنْكُمْ إِلَّا وَارِدُهَا كَانَ عَلَى رَبِّكَ حَتْمًا مَقْضِيًّا ثُمَّ نُنَجِّ الَّذِينَ تَقَوْا. As Allah Azza wa Jal mentions, there's not an individual except he has to cross that bridge that has been placed above the Jahannam. Look what Hatim al-Asam, لما سئل عن صلاتي, when he was asked by his salah, he said, قال, إذا حانت الصلاة أسبغت الوضوء. When the time of the salah comes, I go and perfect my wudu. So if he didn't have wudu, he's going to go what? Perfect his wudu. وأتيت الموضع الذي أريد الصلاة فيه. Then I come to that place where I want to pray. فأقعد فيه حتى تجتمع جوارحي. I sit there until I, you know, become collective. ثم أقوم إلى صلاتي. Then I stand up for my salah. وأجعل الكعبة بين حاجبي. Then I place the Kaaba, front of my eyes, my eyebrows. والصراط تحت قدمي. And I place the sirat, the bridge that is above the hellfire, imagining it under my feet. والجنة عن يمين, and the Jannah is on my right. والنار عن شمالي, and the nar is placed on my left. وملك الموت ورائي, and I place the angel of death behind me. أظنها آخر صلاتي. I see it to be as if it is my last prayer. How many of us, my brothers and my sisters, have ever imagined that all the years that we've been praying? This is the Salaf, my brothers and my sisters, that we need to try and be like. A Salaf, and when I say the word Salaf, my brothers and my sisters, I mean the three golden generations. The Sahaba, the Tabi'een, the Tabi'ut Tabi'een. Those the Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam praised. Khayrukum Qarni. ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ ثُمَّ الَّذِينَ يَلُونَهُمْ. The best of those is my generation. Those who came after them and those who came after them. Any teacher, my brothers and my sisters, who comes to you guys, his only objective and job should be that he teaches you the way they understood the religion of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whether it is قَوْلًا وَعَمَلًا وَاعْتِقَادًا وَأَخْلَاقًا وَغَيْرَ ذَلِكَ. Whether it is in عَقِيدَةً, whether it is, my brothers and my sisters, in the actions that we do, whether it is the statements that we have. Likewise, the akhlaq is very, very important. We look towards them. Not necessarily people who are breathing today. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? That is our religion. And that is my job as a teacher. Somebody who goes out and gives da'wah to the people. And that should be the case with any individual. And that should be your yardstick of how you attain knowledge. From whoever it might be. Quran al-Shaykh, he also mentioned something where وَتَرَى كَثِيرًا مِنَ النَّاسِ يَتَعَجَّبُونَ مِمَّنْ يَخْشَعُ فِي الصَّلَاةِ السِّرِّيَّةِ. Because you find a lot of people, they find it astonishing when they see somebody having khushu', that concentration, that reverence in his salah, even in what? The salawat where you don't read the Quran loudly. Because normally we just find it what? In taraweeh, when the imam, or maghrib or isha, when he's reading out aloud, sah? Find people start having khushu' because of his voice, sah? Not necessarily because of the ma'ani, but because of the voice. But my brothers and my sisters, with regards to the ma'ani, if one understood it, but we're going to come on to that point. That individual, he's reading whatever he's reading, even in the salawat where you don't read aloud, he's still going through khushu'. So then the Shaykh said, وَكَيْفَ لَا يَخْشَعُ وَهُ يَقِفُ بَيْنِ يَدَيْ اللَّهِ. How can he not have khushu' when he's actually standing in front of Allah Azza wa Jal? Remember that example that I gave, guys. How nervous that individual gets when he's going into the interview room. He's practicing. That's what I'm going to say. She says this, huh? Sure, tie, everything, suited, booted. That's how we treat the creation. This is an interview, my brothers and my sisters, with our Lord. Allah Azza wa Jalla has called you, Hayya ala salati, Hayya ala al-falah. Rush to the salah, rush to that which is going to bring you what? Success. Muslim ibn Yasar, the great tabi'i, he said, لو كنت بين يدي ملك تطلب حاجة لسرك أن تخشع له. If you were standing in front of the king, he went into Queen Elizabeth's palace and you really desperately wanted something. Is anybody here going to be fidgeting? Wobbling himself about? You're going to be concentrating because you're standing in front of the queen. Here the Shaykh, he says, if you really desperately needed something and you stood in front of the king, you're going to have khushu' for him. Going to be in full concentration. Point number 6. We're nearly done, guys. Inshallah ta'ala. أن تفرغ قلبك للصلاة وأن تؤثرها على ما سواها. That you empty your heart and that you prefer Allah Azza wa Jal over everything else. You know, my brothers and my sisters, last year, and I always bring up this joke with the Newcastle community. Year before, not this year, last year, you guys remember, it was the World Cup, right? The World Cup, sah. I was given a lecture on Saturday in Newcastle. Some of you guys may know Ustad Muhammad Tim. We're actually debating whether people are going to turn up or not. Why? Because the game has gone to extra time. Forget about the lecture. It was Maghrib time. Brothers are saying, SubhanAllah, I don't think anybody's going to turn up to Maghrib Salah. Because the England game is going on. Huh?
Shaykh here, my brothers and my saying, is saying, emptying your heart and preferring Allah Azza wa Jal over everything else. The fact that, my brothers and my sisters, that we might actually reach a point where we choose Harry Kane, England semi-final game last year, huh? Over Salatul Maghrib. Wallah, hadhi musiba. I'm going to ask you guys a question. What does Allahu Akbar mean? Allah is the greatest, right? Jazakallahu khairan. Jameel. Tomorrow, if somebody started insulting Allah Azza wa Jal, how do you think the Muslim community is going to react? It's going to be uprise, ah? Cardiff is going to be on fire. Alayhi kadalik? But my brothers and my sisters, when you look at this statement now, Allahu Akbar, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. That means that Allah Azza wa Jal is greater than everything else that you're currently engaged in. If you now prefer Harry Kane or Lionel Messi or Cristiano Ronaldo, the football that you're watching, and you say, I'm going to pray later, what have you done, my brothers and my sisters? Have you really, really acted upon Allahu Akbar? We might say it with our tongues, but we're actually acting upon it with our limbs. This is why Imam Shafi'i rahimahullah ta'ala said, فَإِذَا أَرَدْتَ أَن تَعْرِفَ مَقَامَكَ فَانْظُرْ فِي مَا أَقَامَكَ. If you really, really want to know your position with Allah Azza wa Jal, then see what caused you to stand to Him. How much are you actually giving to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala your main priority? Or have you thrown Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala behind you? And you've made Him what? A lesser of a priority to what you're doing at the time. Wallahi, my brothers and my sisters, whatever we are doing, if we carry on watching that game, even though we might not necessarily believe it, huh? But your jawarih actually show it. Your limbs. You have actually said that Harry Kane is more greater than Allah Azza wa Jal. Or Lionel Messi, or whoever it might be. Because you've preferred him over Allah Azza wa Jal. So here, my brothers and my sisters, that you prefer Allah Azza wa Jal over everything. Emptying your heart. Sometimes, my brothers and my sisters, we rush out of a war zone. Some of our homes has become a war zone. And we rush into the salah. And by the time we reach the last tashahud, we read, oh, now we're in salah. Because there's so many things on our mind. The adhan, my brothers and my sisters, is there for a reason. What do you think is there for? That a person starts his preparation for his meeting and his interaction with Allah Azza wa Jal. Is that a person, he prepares himself physically and likewise mentally. Sit in your car. Maybe go to somewhere where you are by yourself. And put yourself in that mind frame that you're now about to enter into the meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The same thing that you would do when you're waiting for the interviewer to call you into the meeting. Where your mind is so occupied.
Hassan al-Basri, the great tabi'i, said, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَقُمْ قَانِتًا كَمَا أَمَرَكَ اللَّهِ. When you stand up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then stand up straight. In obedience to Allah subhanahu, just like He commanded you. وَإِيَّاكَ وَالسَّهْوَ وَالْتِفَاتِ. And also be very wary of turning around from side to side. أَنْ يَنْظُرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْكَ وَتَنْظُرُ إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. That you look to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala while at the same time you're thinking about what? Or you're looking at something else. They say, my brothers and my sisters, the iltifat in the salah is of two types. Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, I think it is in Miftah Dar al-Sa'adah, he mentions. Al-iltifatu bil-abdan, moving your body in the salah, and also what? Moving your eyes. And also what? Moving your mind to somewhere completely different from Allah Azza wa Jal. تسأل الله الجنة وتعوذ به من النار. You ask Allah for Jannah and you seek refuge from the fire. وقلبك ساهن. And your heart is distracted.
وَلَا تَدْرِي مَا تَقُولُ بِلِسَانِكَ And you don't know what you are saying with your tongue. And last but not least, my brothers and my sisters, point number 7 is تَدَبُّرُ الْقُرْآنِ To ponder upon the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَإِنَّ تَدَبُّرَ الْقُرْآنِ يَفْتَحُ مَغَالِيقَ الْقُلُوبِ وَيُشْغِلُ النَّفْسَ بِأَخْبَارِهِ وَقِصَصِهِ وَمَوَاعِظِهِ For indeed, what the pondering and contemplation of the Qur'an, my brothers and my sisters, what it does is, it unlocks the heart. And this is exactly what Ibn al-Qayyim, rahimahullah ta'ala, mentioned in Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada. Where he says, Miftah Hayat al-Qalb, and he mentions three things. That which is now going to open up your heart. First thing that he mentions is Tadabbur al-Qur'an, to ponder upon the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Are you with me, my brothers and my sisters? Ibn Jarir al-Tabri, rahimahullah, he says, عَجِبْتُ لِمَنْ يَقْرَأُ الْقُرْآنَ وَلَا يَعْرِفُ مَعَانِيهِ It amazes me how somebody can recite the book of Allah Azza wa Jal and he doesn't know its meanings. كَيْفَ يَلْتَذُّ بِقِرَاءَتِهِ How is it that he can taste the sweetness of the Qur'an? How is it that he can what? Taste the sweetness of the Qur'an. My brothers and my sisters, I'm not going to lie to you guys. Before I learned the Arabic language, Taraweeh was just like, huh? Is it going to end? When is it going to end? And some of us may be feeling like that because we don't understand what the Imam is reading. And you know, it would really, really hurt us that we see certain individuals, right? Who are crying, they're going through that khushu'. But we don't have a clue what's happening. That really also hurt me. And it kind of encouraged me to go and what? Learn the Arabic language. So I can at least understand that long taraweeh. Sometimes it goes on for ages and we don't have a clue what's being said. And you can only, my brothers and my sisters, really taste the sweetness of the Quran if you go and study Arabic. This is why Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, he said, تعلموا اللغة العربية Learn the Arabic language فإنها إيش من دينكم For indeed this is part of your religion You might have a tafsir in the English language But it won't be as sweet as that It really won't But as an alternative If you don't have that The least you can do my brothers and my sisters Is invest in the tafsir of Ibn Kathir In the English language And I think they have it over there. Have it over there in the Maktaba. It's one of the nicest books that I've personally read in the English language. I don't like reading English books. But the way he's, you know, he worded the words in a very simple manner. Something that's like really cheap. Taraweeh in the month of Ramadan, in the month of Quran, and even outside of that. Because the benefits, my brothers and my sisters, of pondering upon the Quran is many. Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, I'm going to conclude with this inshaAllah ta'ala. Is there anyone here who doesn't want the happy life? Put your hand up. You all want to stay miserable? You want to be happy? Huh? MashaAllah, that was very enthusiastic. Huh? Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, مَا رَأَيْتُ شَيْئًا يُغَذِّيَ الْعَقْلَ وَالْرُوحَ وَيَحْفَظَ الْجِسْمَ I haven't seen anything that feeds the mind. And also feeds the soul. And also preserves your body. وَيَضْمَنُ السَّعَادَ And also guarantees you happiness. أَكْثَرَ مِنْ إِدَامَةِ النَّظْرِ فِي كِتَابِ اللَّهِ More than constantly looking in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. I repeat again. I haven't seen anything, he says. That feeds the mind and the soul and looks after your body. And guarantees you happiness more than constantly looking in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. You know guys, I've met multi-millionaires. Sometimes come to Medina, bump into them. We talk. Man's depressed in his life. Just want, some of them even want to go as far as taking their lives. And when you just ask him a couple of questions, it's not rocket science to understand what is missing in his life. The book of Allah Azza wa Jal. He has all the money that he needs. Any of these materialistic things, ما يحتاج إليه. He's got it all. Wants to move from one country to another, he can do that in the moment of a phone call. But the guy's unhappy. And we've seen many, many cases of people committing suicide, right? They have everything they need in the dunya. But the Quran is missing in his life. And Ibn Taymiyyah is saying, one of the greatest things that is going to guarantee that happiness that you're looking for is the Quran. Because wallahi al-azim, my brothers and my sisters, we can sit here till tomorrow. Every problem that one is facing, we can find in the book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Or fi sunnati Rasulillahi Azza wa Jal. And that is a guarantee. Without a shadow of a doubt. La shakka wa la raib. And also my brothers and my sisters, Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah ta'ala, he says, فَإِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ إِذَا قَرَأَ الْقُرْآنَ وَتَدَبَّرَهُ كَانَ ذَلِكَ مِنْ أَقْوَى الْأَسْبَابِ الْمَانِعَةِ لَهُ مِنَ الْمَعَاصِي. If one reads the Quran and he ponders upon it, it is from the greatest of means that is going to protect him from falling into sin. It is as if you are building a gate around your home. When you build that gate around your home, it's going to protect it from the lusus, from the thieves and the criminals, right? This is exactly what the tadabbur al-Quran is doing to you. You're putting a shield around yourself from all the ma'asi that others might easily fall into. Wal-iyadu billah. Oh, at least he said, oh, ba'adhiha. At least you're going to find it's going to protect you from some. It's a form of protection. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my brothers and my sisters, for listening attentively, and we ask Allah Azza wa Jal with His names, bi asma'ihi al-husna, to make us from those who have that khushu' in the salat. So we're able to taste that sweetness, that click, that connection between us and Allah Azza wa Jal. Jazakum Allah khair, my brothers and my sisters, for attending and listening attentively. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to really bless Shaykh Abu Bashir for organizing this, for being a means of goodness, inshaAllah ta'ala. And subhanakallahu bihamdik, ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant, astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.